I am. I have it. One with the speakers not in the proper position.
You think that's what it is?
Of course that's what it is. You got and you inept.
Did you see who it was?
Yeah, it was Stuart Copeland.
Oh, okay.
No, it wasn't. I don't know. They browsed right through it real quick or something. I don't care. Welcome to the Futile Podcast. Tonight we got
Tonight Ian doesn't care.
Wow. You know,
wow.
I'm a little depressed from this movie. License to Drive. Corey Feldman, Corey
Because Haim. You could see Heather Graham's tits.
Heather Graham. Yeah. Yeah. That
Pretty much every movie after this.
That pink outfit, though, I mean, it was almost better than if you did.
Well, I don't know if she was legal then. She might have been.
Well, retroactively, she is now, so.
That doesn't mean.
What, am I going to get a time machine and go back to License to Drive?
You could.
No.
I wonder if the Corys would.
The Corys definitely would. High five. For sure. Nice little... What is it? 87, you were saying? So 2 years before The Simpsons, and we got Les, which is Corey Haim as Les. And he's got to write, "I Will Drive Safely" a bunch of times on the chalkboard. And then The Simpsons... Basically, The Simpsons should be paying money to the creators of License to Drive every time for every episode they ever air.
You don't think that was inspired by actual events in classrooms around the country?
Around the country?
I believe I had to do that.
You had to do that? What'd you have to do that for?
I
won't whip it out and play with my doodle in the middle of class.
That pretty much sums up my whole first through sixth grader.
Is that it? Come on, now seriously, what would you have ever had to do? I won't talk to my friends in class. I'll do my homework.
It was probably something stupid like that. I got caught talking to somebody. It's a dangerous world out there.
Yeah, but you had a point. The three main females in this movie have all played whores, right?
Sort of.
Well, let's see. You have the mom, Les's mom, who's pregnant, and she was in Last Detail as
a prostitute. Yeah, she was the whore Randy Quaid lost it to.
Mm-hmm. Before he had to go away for stealing money from the till.
From the charity box.
Yep.
Admiral's wife's charity box.
That's no good. That's,
you know, you don't fuck with the Admiral's wife's box.
You don't mess with the Admiralty. And then Heather Graham played a whore in Boogie Nights.
Sort of, yeah.
Well, we established...
for money.
You're going to split hairs, yeah.
But really, what woman... never mind.
Wow, Mark, come on now. Come on.
Wow. I know.
We ought to apologize for the misogyny in this part of the podcast.
That was rather hetero of me.
Yes, it was. Anyway, and then, as previously mentioned, the younger sister...
twin sister.
Is supposed to be Les's twin sister.
A foot taller than he is.
Was forced into prostitution in Wild Orchid, or whatever the hell it was called.
Wild Orchid 2.
Wild Orchid 2.
A New Shade of Blue,
New Shade of Blue.
Something like that.
Which we still have to see, because that sounds like a good one.
With the Skerritt man and Robert Davi?
Tom Skerritt and drug dealer guy Robert Davi. So we're going to be checking that out at some point. Yeah, really, this is a film in the vein of the 80s teen comedy, but it's got, like, a lot of subtext to it about issues of consumerism, about issues of adolescent freedoms and safety issues. They've got
think they were pretty much promoting consumerism.
Oh, to a degree, but then there's also...
They had Karl the Marxist.
They had Karl the Marxist.
And he was obviously bad.
Yes, but he was bad like a joke, and then I think...
Yeah, he wasn't... It'd be even better if he was out actually, like... blowing up power plants and shit.
Mm-hmm. Well, Marxists do not really want to do that.
the militant Marxist, too.
Maybe. Maybe. That's more of a Greenpeace thing, right? A PETA thing. They're going to blow up power plants now. They're like, you use hamsters on wheels to power this yacht club. And then, like, you know, the guy with the sweater tied around his shoulders is like, uh-huh, you Greenpeace people don't know what's going on. But that's not what this movie is. This movie isn't the one where the Greenpeace people blow up the power plant to save the yacht club, to stop it from destroying the teen center.
What movie was that?
It was the one where the Greenpeace people team up with the 80s outcasts kids to destroy the power plant to the yacht club so that way they won't steal the teen center. All the rich snooty kids. Well, yeah. Anywho.
Was Bob Newhart in that one?
I think he played like the crazy uncle.
Or the dude from Father Dowling's Mystery.
You mean Father Dowling? Tom Bosley? Wow. Mm. That ain't so good, Al. No, I don't know. License to Drive is it's pretty quick, but I hadn't seen it in years. I remembered. I think maybe I blended it with a couple of those other like zany kid movies, like Adventures in Babysitting or something. I honestly thought there was like some kind of an element where like there was like zany criminals chasing after him at some point.
Elizabeth Shue also played a whore.
That's right. All the best ones usually do. I don't know. It was a fine little comedy. Corey Feldman's there as the one just sort of pushing things along, kind of telling Les, hey, you got to do this.
That's definitely more of a Corey Feldman fan than a Corey Haim.
Oh, definitely. Corey Haim's
just this little whiny bitch.
He's whiny. He's sort of the straight man to Corey Feldman.
This is true.
In their Abbott and Costello-like routine. He's like Desi to Corey's Lucy. I'm trying to think about character motivations and justifications. And really, Corey Haim is not very likable in this movie.
He's not.
Sort of trying to be every guy, but he's not really like he doesn't treat the girl very well. Everything just kind of happens to him throughout the movie, and he never really like makes any decisions or shows any like bravado or anything.
He doesn't get rewarded anyway.
Yeah, he does. I guess that's the lesson in the '80s: is hey, you know, if you consume, if you go consumer, a fine non-American made car. Let's see, there was an Audi, there was a BMW, Caddy.
Caddy was all American.
But it got the ass
end
of that.
Even with the Frank.
Yeah, with the Frank, that's right. And they all were making fun of the chairman about how no one listens to this music. My parents don't even listen to this music. It's like, are you kidding me? What's wrong with the chairman? There ain't nothing wrong with the chairman. That's what's not wrong with the chairman. You gotta watch out with the eating, or we're gonna get another review where they're like, all they do is eat.
No, they'd ignore it for me, because I'm the sidekick.
Oh, you're the sidekick?
You have to carry it.
I have
so
to carry everything.
It's more important.
Which means that I get
as opposed to when you're doing it with Zach, and then he kind of just...
What, are you saying he carries it?
No, I'm not saying anything at all.
Oh, okay. Fine. I mean, there's some funny characters, like, in this
Dad's
movie.
Dad's awesome.
The dad's got some good lines, and then, like, the truck driver... And then even the drunk is kind of ridiculous and his weird and you know he like lines up the bottles and he's cutting limes talking about how no one knows what's wrong with him.
The driving instructor.
Yeah, Uncle Phil is good. But honestly, like I don't know how Corey Haim ever became like a big box office draw because he is like no
teenage girls,
no charisma at all. I guess that's really true because most of the actors. That do performance.
Well, it's like the Growing Pains kid. What's his Cameron?
Leonardo DiCaprio?
No, Cameron.
Kirk Cameron?
Kirk Cameron. It's like, who the fuck gave a shit about him? But he was huge.
Boy, those tests are hard, huh? We watched Les there just flunk it. I mean, it's like, let me see, driving through a pool of water, do you want to accelerate, slam on the brakes, or just take your foot off the gas?
Some of those questions are hard because they're like, how many feet before you have to, like, yields, it's like 75 feet, 50 feet. Some of those fucking questions were bullshit.
Some of those are nickel and dime, and some of those are... some of those are trying to trick you up.
Now, if they did only questions about Smokey and the Bandit, and about arm breaking, yeah, and...
Exactly,
and
truck
arm
driving.
Wrestling and trucking.
Arm driving and truck driving. They're like...
If they had questions like that, I'd be cool.
How big can your load be so that Big John won't pull you over... And you can make it to the next choke and puke in time to catch Starla on her opening act show.
On Little Beaver?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, they should rewrite the test. Maybe that's what it's like.
I think you should talk
maybe
to
that's
state
what, like,
representatives.
Maybe that's what, like, the Arkansas test is like or something.
It could be.
Well, Bill Clinton had anything to do with putting it together, right? Not to get all political.
I wonder when the last time he was in Arkansas. I'm not even going to go there.
You shouldn't. You should get out of those dreams and get into your car. Now, you like driving around.
I did.
You've had a handful of dates.
Back when it was fun.
You've had a handful of dates with drunk chicks where they're about to puke in your car and stuff. How does that end up working out? How authentic is this movie to that kind of scenario?
I don't know. I wasn't dating chicks in the 80s.
I know, but you were in the 90s, right?
I don't think the movie's very realistic, no.
Hmm. I think parts of it maybe kind of are. Parts of it aren't. Like, the part where Heather Graham's probably going to go back to Paulo. I feel like if they were going to do a remake of this movie, that they should, like, combine it with, like, Teen Wolf and Adventures in Babysitting and make one super remake.
I think they should just have George Clooney play all the characters. And
so it'd be like an Eddie Murphy thing? It's to be like, George Clooney, George Clooney, George Clooney, George Clooney, and George Clooney.
Yep.
He'd be the grandpa and the dad and Les. And Teen Wolf.
And Nina Seismenko.
Nina Seismenko.
What is it with the Teen Wolf, anyway?
Oh, it's just that part where they go to the party at the beginning. I kept hoping that Styles was going to show up and have everything. Because Styles had the party and Teen Wolf on lockdown. He was in charge of that party in a way that just still baffles me. I mean, that's how I am when I'm at those high school parties, or like back when I used to go to the high school parties.
You cruise with you and Zach cruising the junior high?
No.
Who was that he was cruising the junior high with?
It was Luke.
It was Luke. Oh, yeah. Right, right.
But no, you got to have that stuff on lockdown, otherwise it gets out of hand. And again. Yeah, that's just...
Don't worry, babe, puking in the pool.
Nope, no puking in the pool, no puking in the hot tub, no puking in the bathtubs. No shitting on the buffet.
No shitting the bricks.
Nope.
Yeah.
No breaking just through the red line on the Goldschlager.
Well, that wasn't your responsibility. That was somebody else's house. And that guy was...
I was totally not even there. I was just sort of watching the whole thing.
No, I honestly wasn't there. I was out listening to him talk about trying to give me all this shit because he wanted to kill himself.
Dude,
that was good time.
You should have taken on some of it.
No, he seriously pulled out his wallet, man. He was trying to count out cash. I'm like, dude, I can't take your fucking money.
Wow.
Oh, man. It was really strange. It was very strange.
I wonder if he ended himself. I'm surprised we survived.
Well, we found out he had guns. I mean, who the fuck knows? Got to find out his fetishes for his sister's treasure trail or whatever.
Oh, my God. I don't remember that part.
You remember?
That must have been when you two went off to the bar.
I thought it was when he was showing us her picture. And like,
I don't remember a picture of his sister.
Yeah.
Did she look like Nina Seismenko?
I want to say it was a picture. Shit, he was quite a bit older than us, wasn't he?
Not quite a bit. He was maybe like 4 or 5 years, maybe.
Yeah, I remember him being around 30. But wow. It seemed like the picture I saw was like her in high school, like a prom picture in the 80s with huge fucking hair.
Oh my God, that's
it's
terrible.
Like maybe early 90s or
that's
something.
That's looking just like somebody out of this movie, out of Last to Survive.
Yeah, kind of the Heather Graham hair, except for, I remember it was dark.
It was fun at the gun owner's house. That was Daniel that put that whole thing together.
Yes, he did, the goons.
Yeah, we had to
go check
that out.
There's that top secret.
Oh, who fucking cares? That stuff's all dissolved at this point, I think.
Dissolved at that point. They had no standards.
No standards. No self-respect.
Self-respect's important.
It's very important. You know, that way you don't go off drinking a bottle of champagne because you feel like you've been rejected. Then you don't get
dancing on cars.
Then you don't get stuck in a trunk all night while adventures and
you know, it does. It's right around the same period, like 2 or 3 years later. But do you ever get flashbacks to like Goodfellas when you see that? They pop the trunk and you're waiting for the bang bang and the stab stab,
and then you're waiting for it. Here's a leg. Here's a
wing.
Here's a wing. Ah, here's a wing. Yeah.
That part of it got to me just thinking about the smell. That I don't know how much.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, she would have been so sick in the back of that car. The smell of, like, grandpa golf clubs and stuff, rolling around, rattling around the back seat of, in the trunk of a car.
She passed out,
though. Yeah, but she was hammered. That was perfect,
though, because they had her, like, laying sort of on her back side, so upwards. So then it'd be really easy for her to aspirate the vomit.
Yeah, exactly. She'd go out like Hendrix.
Exactly.
Heather Graham would have gone out like Hendrix.
She wasn't that heavy, and then just down the ravine, and in fact, you could just seal up the car and just chuck the whole thing.
You'd frame the drunk guy at the quarry.
You'd frame the drunk guy, absolutely.
See, that's what I was thinking about the whole time.
And, yeah, that'd actually be perfect, because, I mean, who the hell would believe him?
Of course. Well, you'd frame it, and then you'd set it up for him. You'd put him, when he passed out, you'd put him in his car and have him roll off into the quarry and explode and die.
Well, it explode. The car would explode before it hit the water, right? Just
well, there's no water in the quarry.
Oh, it's not one of those quarry pools.
No.
That's even better, though.
Yeah. I'd have to give License to Drive.
Wrap it up?
Yeah, wrap it up. License to Drive, I'm going to give a C.
I'll give it a D.
A D?
Wow. D plus. Now, for dad's sake, I'll do a C.
Yeah.
I'll do a C.
So, I don't know. It's quick.
It's definitely quick and dirty.
The problem with just completely discounting a lot of these 80s movies is that there are funny characters in them. There is some sort of zaniness to them sometimes. Some of them are kind of throwaway, and it's kind of like a waste of time, but the time is so short. See, I think there's going to be a big thing.
How long was the movie?
And it was like an hour and 23 minutes or something like that. It was barely, if 90, it was barely 90.
Barely enough to get too hard.
Yeah.
Let alone finish the job.
Well, yeah. Amateurs like
you. Were
you
saying all movies are like 2 hours now.
Almost all of them are, and so the problem is that you're running into, you know, you can't really recommend a lot of stuff that's
more
like...
More time for product placement.
That's like, yeah. That's like, there's a couple funny characters and one or two funny scenes. It's like, but is it worth 2 hours of sitting there? And it's like, no.
Well, I mean, if you're looking at a movie that way, then... Really, the movie should resolve itself. I mean, if everything's done correctly, I mean, everything just wraps itself up, and it takes however long it takes.
I think
hour 20,
the biggest
hour 40,
flaw
whatever.
In License to Drive is just the fact that you don't really, other than just sort of a general default, you don't really care about Corey Haim like succeeding. You don't really give a shit that he. I mean, they set it up as like, oh, he's poor, regular kid that doesn't have a license and gets, you know, the cute
there
girl.
There aren't very many sympathetic characters.
The cute girl needs the car. Or whatever.
But it was intended. He was intended to be the character you're supposed to identify with.
I guess. Yeah, of course, it seemed sort of like he was, but at the same time, there's really nothing there.
I didn't fail my driver's test, though.
Yeah.
Didn't you the first time?
I think I failed the driven part, yeah.
Okay.
I went too fast through an unmarked intersection, and she basically put the kibosh on it.
I had the short-haired blonde chick, and she was nice.
I had the one...
I think her name was Wendy.
There was, like, an unmarked intersection, and instead of going 15, I went, like, 17 or something, and that was the end of me.
You remember that douchebag that did the driver's training? I swear, I wouldn't even do anything, and he would just have... Yeah, we'd go along for like an hour, 45 minutes, however long it was, and he would just feel compelled to do something, like slam on the brakes, just for the hell of it, for no particular reason other than just to assert his control, so maybe he felt like he was accomplished.
I think we maybe had the same guy. I had a guy that just like made it devastating. It was really difficult for me to become comfortable driving, because he was really high-strung. And,
did he wear glasses?
I don't think so.
I think he was balding, wore glasses.
I don't remember the
glasses. Had a nasally voice.
He was
a
nasally,
bitch.
And he was a whiny freak out. Like, honestly, he was like a... There was something very wrong.
I was lucky my dad had been taking me driving for like a month before that. Which, because the first week I started learning how to drive, I hated it. I was freaking out.
Oh, of course.
I mean, it just
anyone
no
that's responsible is going to, yeah, it's not. It's a lot of responsibility. There's a lot of, it's very unwieldy, too, at first.
Yeah, because you honestly can't really see where the car is on the road. So until you get
you develop your mind, extra sensory perception.
Which is funny because you do, and then you just, if you've driven a vehicle long enough, you just automatically know its displacement and where you can squeeze it. And
yeah, it still takes a while. Some people never do that. Yeah, I'm not as good as you, but like
it's a visual spatial.
I basically didn't have hardly anything, and so then I got this freak job trying to teach me. And he was miserable. He made my life fucking terrible.
Lane didn't take you out with
the hearse. He did after, and that was fun, driving the fucking hearse. Are you fucking kidding me? And on the country roads where all of a sudden there'd be some kid in the middle of the road with a lemonade stand and shit. It's like, what? Are you kidding me? The hearse, yeah, it's like I should get a, gotten a boat license for that motherfucker thing. Not to mention the fact that not, it's not only that it's a hearse, that it's a huge fucking car. It's not literally a hearse, but it's a big, big car.
It was, it was, it wasn't black though, was it? It was dark blue.
In the dark blue. And, but it's that the steering on it is really slippery and loose. And
the probably didn't even have rack and pinion. It was probably recirculating ball.
The accelerator on it is really, was really one of those pain in the ass sensitive ones. Where like you'd hit it just a little and you go, you'd lurch. But then in order to really accelerate, you practically had to floor it to like really go from like, you know, to go from like 25 or like a slow on ramp onto like freeway speeds.
It's because again, kind of like the Thunderbird or the Cadillac, it's a really heavy, large car.
Yeah,
it's got a big fucking V8 in it,
mm-hmm.
which has a lot of low end torque. Especially an engine in a car like that isn't set up for like, it's not like a Corvette engine, which the power is aimed towards the revving up the top end.
Yeah.
It's, the power is aimed towards the low end and just kind of cruising around town kind of shit.
It's like car talk all of a sudden now on this show here.
Well, no, it was just kind of, it was, because I know exactly what you're saying.
And it was not a fun experience.
As opposed to like a driving a little four-cylinder car where there you really have to press the gas pedal down a lot more to get a similar response. And but at the same time, it'll wind up a lot faster depending on the gearing. That big old heavy car is geared. It's got so much torque that to save gas, they want it to stay low RPM. So the gears are really tall and really far apart.
Yeah, anyway, it was a fun thing to learn on. And I mean, like, now that I know how to use it, I don't drive it very often, but every now and again when I will end up driving that car, or a car similar, he's got a new one, but it's similar. It's kind of like...
Doesn't he still have the old one, too?
Yeah, he does. It's kind of like, once you've mastered it, you kind of do feel, like, awesome driving something that big. It's kind of like...
Feel that way driving the van.
What is it? Is it a C-40? What's the one in Delta Force, that the big, huge plane that they can drive Jeeps into?
C-130.
C-130, yeah. It's kind of like the equivalent of a C-130. Because I was taking flight lessons, too. I think I was taking flight lessons before I ever took driving lessons. Oh, my gosh. Lessons on things and all the responsibilities and stresses that come with them.
Yeah, not crashing into people.
That's a lot to deal with in that age period. And that's where I feel they kind of missed the ball in this. I mean, they really could have talked about, like, adolescent challenges and the stresses and things. But all it really was it was like... Hey, he's at a party, hot girl turns around and uses him as a convenient out with breaking up with some other boyfriend, and so then that kind of
never really determined his ethnicity.
Well, he was Palo. I think he was Spanish.
He was Spanish?
He was Spanish or
Well, she was
Southern
saying, like,
French.
Pakistan or...
She was referencing that in terms of, political events. I think it was supposed to show that she wasn't all ditzy, and it was probably Heather Graham that inserted that into the film. She's like, I don't want it to seem like some ditzy blonde. I want more to my
Heather
character.
Graham's not just a ditzy blonde, is she?
So Greg Beeman was probably, the director was probably, who's gone on to like produce on other stuff.
Horse have brains.
Of course.
A lot of drugs and alcohol that can destroy your brain.
Oh, don't have to tell me. I've been working on that for a while. We'll be right back. What's with the sneering? The people want to like you.